You're listening to the Moms Working Overtime podcast, the community of women you've been searching to find for so long. We bring together our mamas in waiting, brand new moms, stay-at-home moms, working moms, and the moms who maybe just have a little bit more experience than the rest of us. We're all here for community, support, and finding ways to show up better for our families each and every day. I'm so grateful that you're here, and I hope you love what you find on today's episode. Welcome back to the Moms Working Overtime podcast. Y'all know my favorite episodes are these Thursday interview series episodes, and I get to grab other amazing moms that I get to talk to in my day-to-day life and connect with and learn from, and I get to share them with you all. And so today I'm super excited. I get to bring my girl Nikki Harris on here. Welcome, Nikki.
Hi, how are you?
We are so good. You know, we're just operating on no sleep. You remember
this? Oh my gosh. Yes.
It's usually a gamble. Am I going to get 2 hours or six? Because six feels like the best night of sleep ever.
Yeah. And now I look back and I'm like, I only got six. Oh my God.
Yes. No, it's been good, but I'm just super excited to have you on. So for everyone that's listening, Nikki and I, you know, I typically grab moms in just the overall health and wellness space, moms that work with other moms frequently because they just have so much to share. And by having all these conversations, we pick up on what you all are struggling with, which is usually a lot of the same things. And we can remind you that you're not alone. We can talk you through things that we do. And people like Nikki and I are really good at being vulnerable. So we're going to share like, hey, I suck at this, or I failed at this too. I feel guilty about this too. And so Nikki is that mom, and we connected through the health and wellness coaching space, but she is a busy mom. She has two kids. She's an entrepreneur, all the things. There's a million different facets. We're going to talk about their lifestyle because they live on a farm, which is my background. Just tons and tons of things that we can talk about. But Nikki, before we dive in, I just want to let you introduce yourself and tell them a little bit more about you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll kind of just start from the beginning and how I got into health and wellness. I think that that's really helpful too, because I didn't start here. I am 36. We live on in a small town in Iowa on a farm. We have two dogs, two kids, 10 and 8, one husband. That's more than enough for us. And we raise corn and soybeans, right? So that's where we're at right now as far as like animals go and all of the stuff. My husband works full time and farms after work, and then I help with the farm, run my business, which is nutrition coaching and wellness. And then I run kids everywhere.
You are in the taxi phase for sure.
I am. Oh my God. I literally just pack my meals always, and I'm always eating it, whether it's at a horseback riding arena or at a basketball game. It's fine. But I honestly did not find health and wellness or nutrition or anything until after I became a mom. I think probably a number of you would relate to this. Like, my husband fell in love with me as I was, which is amazing. God help him. But I was a heavier girl when we first met. And then after we had kids, it was even more. And I was like, if I don't want to look at me naked, I don't want him to look at me naked. So I found health and nutrition, became really good at it, fell in love with it, and quit my full-time job back in 2020. And I've been coaching full-time ever since. So that's kind of the fast track.
It is. And it's a wild transition, because I can relate as well. Going from healthcare, you had a set schedule, you left work, you were pretty much done with work, and things shut off. But when you enter this new phase of life, and I always tell moms this, when you enter motherhood, you start to adapt your life to motherhood, especially in these early years. We have to revolve our lives around it in so many different scenarios because the kids run our schedules. And so it's nice to be able to adapt to this career where you and I can relate now, being in control of our time, which sometimes we are good at, sometimes we are not so good at. We'll talk about that. But to be able to show up for those kids. And so we'll be able to dive into all of that in the episode today. And I know that there's going to be so many moms that listen that relate to that, because the biggest thing that I know moms struggle with is no time, never time for themselves, never time to feel like they have all their, you know what, straight. So before we get started, there's a question, Nikki, that I ask every single mom. And it's fun because from episode to episode, you see how different moms answer the question and view this transition into motherhood. So who were you before you were a mom? And are you the kind of mom that you expected yourself to be?
Oh, who was I beforehand? It depends how far back we go. But I would say I lived a solid from age 19 to age 24. in some sort of bar or party area, drinking way too much and eating like crap.
Same.
Met my husband in a bar, right? It's okay that he's awesome. And now I next to never drink, and it's probably for the best. But honestly, like beforehand, it was not so much a focus on, do I look good enough? Do I have the confidence? Like, it was fine. I was just average and I was fine with it. And I was definitely just a party goer, just wanted to have a good time. Then I had babies, and then life obviously changed with that. Became very passionate about a career, which I was never passionate about my career at that point before either. And that brought on a whole new level of good and bad. So there's that. Second part of the question, what was that again?
Are you the kind of mom that you expected yourself to be?
I read that question, and it's honestly up until about a year ago, I wasn't. I was very disconnected. I was always taught, since I started this business, that you have to make sacrifices in order to be successful in the business. And those sacrifices were always my family. And I always was missing things. I was traveling for stuff that really wasn't as important as my kids. I was missing their games. I was missing their events. My husband was managing everything. They were all incredibly supportive of it, but I was missing everything. And all of a sudden, I woke up last year after some events and I was like, oh my God, I have a 9 and 7 year old at the time. And where have I been?
And I
Where?
blinked. Yeah.
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 So now I can say I've made enough changes over the last year and I'm thinking clear for the first time. I'm actually putting things in place in order to be able to be that mom that's present. So I'm very proud of where I've come.
I love that. I can totally relate to that. You know I can relate to that.
Yes.
And you will never regret missing out on more work, more money, more things to have more time with your kids
Oh my
because you
God,
just
it's
don't get
true.
it back.
No. You can always make something else work as far as money goes, right? Like, I've bought the used shoes for my kids for their birthday present. We've been that broke before. It's okay. They were just as happy with them used. I don't want to go back to that place, but if I get more time with my kids and have to make that kind of a sacrifice for business, then so be it.
My kids are hand-me-down clothes kids.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I'm blessed to have an older sister with older kids. So all the clothes that they wear, I would say 90% of what you see my children in, they're cousins. It was their cousin.
Absolutely. Yes. And we live on the farm. So literally, we go to the secondhand store at the beginning of summer every year. We're like, all the things. What are you going to ruin?
Yes, what can we just destroy? I love
Yes.
it. It is. You live simply, but you know what? Your kids remember the memories.
Oh,
And
yeah.
that's what I don't look back and think about any of the things that we had either. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about your day-to-day, because I know you've made a lot of changes, but also you live a lifestyle that is very conducive to family and raising kids. We're talking about raising good humans today. And so what does your day-to-day look like as a mom?
Business owner, mom, I am very grateful and blessed to have a husband that is very involved. So I'm not running the show by myself. I would not be near as successful. He is hands down the better parent, I swear to God.
I say this about
Honestly,
Dylan too.
oh my God,
It's
Shay
such a
was
gift.
literally the second baby I'd ever held was my own. And I'm like, but you learn. But as far as my day to day, I typically, minus this week, because I'm still recovering from a vacation where I did not sleep at all. Hello, early motherhood. Usually I'm up around 4 or 4:15. I'll get up, I stretch, take, my morning supplements that help with like the debloat and like the prebiotics and probiotics kind of thing, get some salt in, good old glass of water, do a bunch of stretching and stuff because girl, I'm 36 and my hips just don't like that anymore. And then after that, I head out to my office, which is in our shed, like it's on the farm. My husband gets the kids up and kind of rolling with breakfast. He usually leaves for work around 6:30. I do a bunch of walking and catch up with messages, the daily kind of work tasks that you would want to get done on a day-to-day basis. Kids usually get themselves around, right? My kids are 10 and 8. They get their teeth brushed, they get dressed, they take care of the dogs, they pack their own lunches, and they know what to pack in those lunches because I have a printout of
Yes.
like put proteins and veggies and stuff in there, right? And then they have like a snack section for one piece, and they better not come home with all the other stuff, but no snack. So like they know. But they usually come out to my office around 7, 7:15. We'll chit chat for a little bit before they get on the bus at 7:45, and then I crush a workout, crush a walk, take a shower, have meetings, do all the rest of my work tasks. I run errands or whatever I need to do. They get home around 4, and then I take off in all the directions for basketball and soccer and baseball and horseback riding. And yeah.
What age does this begin? Because I have to prepare myself for taxicab life. Like, I
Oh
know
my
it's
gosh.
coming and my kids are going to want to be involved, and I know this.
Yes. Well, I mean, it starts as early as you want it to be, but I mean, soccer started for us. Was that like age 5, I think.
Oh my
T-ball
gosh.
starts around that point, but that's easy. That's usually like an hour once a week, twice a week. That's not so bad. But all of a sudden, my kids made these like tournament basketball teams where we're going to be traveling and staying in hotels, and I'm like, okay. And then it's over spring planting season, and I'm like, I literally have to be in one side of the state and the other on the same weekend. Give you a pick.
Moms are superheroes. That's why we're here. We need those reminders. Like,
Yes.
it's valid that you are overwhelmed and exhausted with everything that
Yes.
we juggle, but moms are superheroes.
Oh my
But
gosh.
I know that through all this, and this is what we relate on most strongly, you've ebbed and flowed with like, hey, I feel balanced, or I feel completely out of balance. And I think that's where those moments that were really like, wake up, Nikki, your life is completely out of balance. Like you talked about last year. I've had those moments as well where I feel like, man, I'm really sucking at this. But then you have moments in your life where, okay, for 24 hours, 48 hours, you're like, I've got this. I can do
Yes.
this. How have you handled those ebbs and those flows and just that process of learning to show up as your best self for your family? How has that been for you?
Oh gosh. I mean, there's definitely certain turning points that stick out. And God, I am an emotional bugger, so I might cry. So don't mind me. But as far as like, I think you have to hit the low points to understand how out of balance you are with not making your family a priority. Same thing's gonna go where you're gonna hit low points where you're not making yourself enough of a priority, or you're not making your career as much of a priority. You're gonna hit these different low points, and you're gonna keep on adjusting and tweaking as you go to make it a little bit better. I was at an event last year, and I had missed X, Y, and Z tournament or whatever, and I get all the pictures, and I miss the shots, and I miss the baskets made, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not getting ahead here. I'm just here. And like, found myself just like calling my kids to FaceTime with them for 5 minutes at night. And I'm like, this is not, every once in a while, sure, but I was doing it way too often and for the wrong reasons. So like, I hit that point where I was like, yeah, my career is doing pretty well. I can support myself. I can, have a fundamental piece of our family making it by. But at the same point, like, what is it for? So I had to really look at how I could tweak my business and my priorities. So, do I have to be at all these events? No, I don't. So, I finally like had that epiphany moment where I was like, "Oh, I don't really need to go. I don't want to go. It's too stressful to go anyway," which
The
is
power of
horrible.
saying no. The
Oh,
power of no.
yes. Say no when you want to say no, and I have
Yeah.
gotten real good at that lately. I say no a lot. And so it's just like you hit that low point, and even like the total opposite direction. This past weekend, I went off the grid. Like, my phone did not work more than to send my picture a message to say, hey, we made it here. We're alive. We were in the mountains of Arizona. I was with my mom and my daughter for a horseback riding trip, just the three of us.
I love
And like,
that.
it was so amazing. It was absolutely fantastic trip. The travel was hard on me, to say the least, but it was absolutely fantastic, but I was sitting there on this horse, mountainside, no service to the world, and the sun shining on my face. And I see my mom and my daughter in front of me on horses. And I about started crying because I'm like,
Like,
oh my
this is
God,
it. You made
I'm
it.
living. And I have my business taken care of. I don't have to think about anything because I have the pieces put in place to take care of it. So, like, I find this balance. And now, like, day-to-day life, I'm not going to Arizona to go horseback riding every day. No. But, I found this way where I can, like, put chores, I don't want to say chores, tasks on other people and trust them. And there's follow through and there's discussion and open discussion constantly so that they can handle the things that I need them to handle so that I can take off when I need to. And those are the biggest things I'm proud of because now I can shut off things by 5 p.m. and I can go do what I need to do with the family. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's learning to appreciate the small moments. I think I've redefined my definition of success in my journey the last year, year and a half, and just realizing that what I thought success would feel like and what I would want in that realm of success is so much different than I really found it to be. And now in these moments, for example, the other night, and Dylan and I talk about this often because I tell him to remind me this is, Lena's in my arms, she's crying. Carter's fussing because he wants my attention. So he's crying and trying to crawl in my lap as well. And I'm overstimulated and I am way too exhausted. And we know that it's just this recipe for disaster. And I'm sitting there and he's like, hey, we prayed for this. And I could cry right now because it's like, hey, there was a time where we sat on the living room floor and couldn't get a positive pregnancy test. And he's in those moments, he's like, man, this is a complete dumpster fire, but hey, we prayed for this. And I love
Yeah.
that because it's those simple moments of your mom and your sister, or your mom and your sister, your mom and your daughter
Close
riding on
enough.
horseback in front of you and just being like, this is it. Like, I made it. And I
Yeah.
think it's really important in those moments as moms, we go so fast and we are so overwhelmed and we are so exhausted that we forgot to stop and we forget to stop and say, wow, this is exactly what I wanted.
Oh my God, yes. And I mean, even a day-to-day example, right? Not everybody's gonna go horseback riding, but to your point, like, watching my kids try out for a team that they might not make. And being so, probably more nervous for them than they are themselves. And like cheering them on in my head so the other parents don't think I'm crazy, right? But like, yes, go, no, ah!
Yes.
Being able to really shut off the rest of the world and focus on that instead of like checking messages on my phone, right? Like
Mm-hmm.
that is a huge win for me. And I would agree that that's a new definition of success. Like I've made it because I can actually pay attention to my family.
Yes, it's I talk about it often. I brought it up on the episode that launched this week for everyone that's listening. I talked about, hey, what your kids want more than anything is for you to be there. Like just be there. Don't be there on your phone. Be there, be present. And that's ultimately what they want. And I think it's just important for us to remember how simple their desire for love is in these early years. But you brought up sports, and I know this is a hot topic. I want to hear your take on it. How do you manage your time? How do you juggle all of these different tournaments and practices and everything with your day-to-day life?
Google Calendar helps a lot. I'm literally
Do you
that
share it with your
person.
husband?
Yes, we well, I
Okay.
like tag him and all of the things so it shows up on his calendar too. So he
Yeah.
knows, like, hey, like for instance, on Thursday nights, I need to have my son 25 minutes south. I need to have my daughter 25 minutes north for
Yeah.
practices at the same time. And I'm like, I literally can't. So like he knows that like I need you there that night, or we need to figure out a different way to get one of them one place.
Yep.
And so I'm literally that person that as soon as I get all the schedules and I know what all the things are, I'm putting it in like location, time. We need to
We
leave
use
by
Time
this
Tree the same
time.
way. Time Tree is really
Yes.
similar. I love it.
Yes. So like I do all of that and then we can easily transfer it when things change because they always do. But it just makes it that much easier. So really like I put that in place and I'm definitely that person because sports moms get it. Really any moms get it. You have to be at X location by this time. What things do you need to accomplish before you leave? How long is it going to take you to shower, get ready, pack snacks, whatever, and start working your time backwards? And all of a sudden, you need to be up at like midnight to leave by seven, but it's okay, like because you get it done. But you start to understand that priorities, right? Like a movement is a priority. So I need to move before I go to tournament. So I need at least 30 minutes. And so that means I need to be in the gym by this time or I'm going to fail.
Yes,
So
carving out time for yourself. Any moms that
yes.
are listening, you can put yourself
Yes.
in that priority list.
Yes. I'm not saying you have to go crush CrossFit every day or anything. Go for a 30-minute walk in the morning. Go stretch for
Yes.
30 minutes. Anything that you need to do that takes care of you, do that on a daily basis. It's so important.
Yep. I think too that time management aspect is hardest in the beginning, learning, finding those strategies because it's different for everyone. Like you have your
Yeah.
Google Calendar, we have our Time Tree. Some people love that big written calendar in their kitchen. Like find what works for you. And I think that like not trying to use a time management strategy that works for someone else, but figuring out between you and your family, hey, what do we need to do to make sure that so and so gets dropped off at the right place, but the other child gets picked up, and maybe we need to ask for a family member's help to get, another
Oh,
child
yeah.
somewhere else. It's just a gamble, especially when you get to the age that you're at with your kids and playing a bunch of sports. So
Yeah.
whenever a mom is going through this stage, this is why I love bringing on moms that have a little bit older kids, because I have a lot of moms I connect with right now that have babies, because I have babies. But bringing on a mom that has older kids, you start to have moments where you feel like a failure when you're juggling all the things and you got to drop a ball. Like I know I've been in that position where it's like I have to make a choice right now to drop a ball. Which one am I going to drop? And I want you to talk about it because I know you're comfortable being vulnerable, and not everyone is. But
Yeah.
I throw myself under the bus all the time on the
Oh,
podcast. But
yeah.
what is an area of your life in this chapter where you feel like a failure? Like, what are things that you're struggling with?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think the hardest thing that I struggle with is it's gotten better over the past year, like I was saying, but there's still moments. But that overstimulated state where you literally just anything's going to break you.
Yeah.
I used to live there basically always. And so my daughter is the most empathetic human I've ever met. Like that girl can feel how you feel through the screen. And so she can sense how I feel. And then she takes that feeling on herself, and that breaks my heart because I was walking around constantly fight or flight. What can I do? And I literally remember one day, and I don't, this is a couple of years ago now. She must have been like 8, maybe. And it was just one of those things. And something broke the camel's back. And I literally just like melted into a pile of tears in the kitchen floor. And I was sitting there sobbing over nothing. And she comes up and she just gives me a big hug, right? And she just like picks me back up, you know, and like puts me back together. So I actually did a show on that too on my podcast a while back, that it's okay to show your kids to be vulnerable, to allow them to help you, to let them see you have a weaker moment and then see them like have them see you rebuild yourself and be strong again. I think that's a really important process because we all have those feelings and we need to experience them. And so it's only helped her and I get closer and understand. And now she's 10 and we have conversations like she's 20. And it's insane. And so there's that piece. But then there's other days, lady, where I just totally lose it and I'm cussing at him and I'm yelling up the stairs. And I am that mom, like, you know, like all the things, and they come downstairs and they're wailing, and I just got done laying out all the words, and I'm like, oh my God, just such a mom moment. And I'm like, I apologize, but I'm like, that's not okay. I shouldn't have said that. And of course, Shay, the older one's like, it's okay, mom, things happen. And then my little one's like, oh, okay, sounds good. Like he doesn't care. But I think that's my hardest things is like, you know, learning to that it's okay to have them see you be weak, have a poor moment, allow them to help you feel better from that moment. Not saying that you should cry on their shoulder every day, but you know, having them allow the ability to be the strong one, I think is a really helpful thing to help them build character too. But then, you know, be mom enough to apologize when you do something wrong and say something wrong. You know, as young as they may be, they need to know that when they're yelled at for certain things, like that's not necessarily what they deserved. And
100%.
you know, even the words that I use, like my kids and I use every word in the book in proper form.
In
And
proper form.
in proper form, there is no question whatsoever. They know how to spell it, use it, say it, whatever, but they know where not to say it. So there is that. But I mean, it is what it is. And I am always there with an apology and a big hug and to own up to it. So that's how we grow.
Kids are super resilient, and we should give them more credit for how resilient they are. But I also like your perspective of get one, giving them an opportunity to support you. That's actually a relationship building strategy. If you read books on relationships, when you allow someone else to help you, it actually strengthens their bond to you because you make them feel valuable. You make them feel like they have a purpose in the relationship and that it's not just all give, right? Because we give a lot to our kids, and whether they realize it or not, they pick up on that. We're the providers, but we give them a moment, like in those instances, to give back to us. And that's actually a bonding thing. But the last thing I wanted to bring up too is you brought up your podcast and you didn't plug yourself, and you could totally plug yourself. So drop your podcast in the case they want to go check that out.
Yeah, it's the Resilient Raw and Rural podcast. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, and on YouTube. So I have all of my stuff on there. I do a lot of interview type stuff as well. We focus heavily on, you know, life balance, on nutrition, on movement, on digestive health, those sorts of things. I also help a new sector of kiddos right now. I'm taking on a youth athlete performance program, so really focusing on teenage health,
Love it.
not in the gym, right? Our athletes that want to make it to that D1 school or to just perform better in their school athletics, understanding nutrition without going heavily into nutrition, understanding the relationship with food needs to be positive, tackling like comparison on social media, those kinds of things. So we're really talking about all of those things in order to optimize their performance offside of the court and outside of the field.
I love it. And for everyone who's listening, as always, I will put her Instagram handle. I'll put the link to her podcast in the podcast description so that it is easy for them to grab. But you just glazed right over that. I was like, I am not going to let her glaze over that. So when we talk about these hard moments with our children, I know that you brought up your daily routine and the things you do, stretching and being able to have those early moments for yourself, going for your walks. Is there anything else you haven't brought up as far as just grounding yourself? Because I think that's what keeps us from that overstimulated, like the straw is going to break the camel's back situation. Things that you just have that bring you back to center.
You know, I think one of the biggest things for me is when I know that things are getting off balance or I'm like really feeling overstimulated, or I'm like, I even tell my kids, like, hey, mommy's having a rough day. I'm fine, but please don't push my buttons on purpose. When I say no, I really, really mean no today. And they get it. And sometimes they press the button anyway, and then Scary mommy comes for a minute, but it's okay. But I think one of those things that's really helpful to help reground that I do is one, I get outside, whether it is cold. Like we live in Iowa, it was negative 50 wind chills at certain points this winter. I'm not saying I went out for a nice long walk in that, but if you can get outside for even 5 minutes, like allow your eyeballs to see natural light, it is so helpful to de-stress you. And go out there without anything in your ears, like no earbuds, no podcasts, no music, no nothing. Get out there and listen to a bird, listen to the wind, smell the things around you. Do it. And then something else I like to do is, like right now, today after I hang up with you, my kids are on spring break. I have tasks I need to get done and get caught up on, but we're going to go for a walk. It's 75 in Iowa in March. We are
So
going
nice.
for a walk. So, and I'm not lifting this week because, whatever, we can talk about that later. But like, I am just walking and stretching this week. So I'm going to get all the movement outside. I'm going to take them with me. Shay and I'll have some conversation about goals and life and everything because she loves to have these big, astounding conversations. And
Yeah.
Skylar will ride his bike into the distance and we'll be good.
I love it. It's the simple life that you're giving your kids that I am obsessed with. And
Yes.
this is another thing we relate so strongly on is I grew up on a farm. And looking back, there were so many moments that I hated it because there was always something to do. There was always work. There was always this pressure to be, out helping. And of course, mom had a huge garden. We had a big yard that needed to be mowed. All these things, living in more space, the responsibility that comes with it. But now that I look back as an adult, I'm like, man, that's awesome. That made me exactly who I am. That gave me every single bit of my work ethic. And I think that's where a lot of parents struggle with their kids is getting their kids to want to contribute or to just contribute when asked to contribute, I should say, and to take on chores and to take initiative with things, to have good work ethic. I feel like we're losing those things with our generation of children that are being raised now. So, what are things that you all do as a family? I mean, how do you instill this in your kids, the work ethic that you have? How are you passing that on?
Oh gosh, there's been so many things. And I'm not going to say whatever all the things that we've done. I'll tell you what we've done. I don't know if they're necessarily right per like a therapist suggestion, but it's worked. And so take it as it is, right? But we nip things in the bud. If they don't do things to our standards, it's not just getting something done, but they are not going to, I don't know if you swear here, half-ass it. Like, it's not okay. My kids know we do not half-ass anything. And so if they do a job that we ask them to do, but it's not done to the quality that we know that they're capable of, we make them do it and do it better, and then they do something else as well. And if they throw a fit about it, they get more done. Like my kids literally have to do 75 push-ups if they do not take the clothes up on the stairs, right? Like they have to, and they have to show us them doing it. They can break it up throughout the day, but they have to do it. And they're athletes, right? My kids want to be on these expensive traveling basketball teams. Ooh, but they earn it, right? They don't get an allowance for doing chores. Not saying that that's wrong, but my kids don't get an allowance for doing
We
chores.
didn't get
They
an allowance either.
No, they earn the things that they want to have, right? You do a good job for the things that we ask you to do. You don't talk back. You don't sass back. You do a good job. You take initiative around the house, all those things. Then you earn those types of things that you get to go and do. You want to go to the arcade and hang out for, 45 minutes, or then those are things that you get to like earn doing without even really asking. So like we instill it just like with that. But there was times where my son is like such a stubborn little shit. And I love him so much. But there was times where he would just like throw these tantrums, and we're past tantrums. We don't do tantrums. My kids do not go in a store and throw a tantrum. Otherwise, we will leave and there will be very bad things that happen as far as like losing stuff. But we literally had my son take a sledgehammer and break his favorite toy outside because he would not do what we told him to do. And it was not a hard task. And it was so heart-wrenching. I had to turn around and cry so he couldn't see me because he's just bawling, breaking this toy, which tell you this thing was like a very well-made toy because he had to really smack the shit out of it to get it break. It was so
Mickey.
torturing. It was torture. But he broke it and we made him go throw it away, all the pieces. And let me tell you, he's never done it again. Right, he didn't make that mistake twice. We were talking before we started the other day, out of not thinking, we take a lot of pride in our vehicles and how our place looks. Like you grew up on a farm, like a lot of people take a lot of pride in how things look and they present themselves. And our vehicles may not be brand new, but we take good care of them. The other day, he threw a rock, not even thinking, and just dented the hell out of the side of one of our cars. And so now he is on our 3.5 acres, taking every single rock out of the grass by hand. And he's almost done. And he will never throw a rock again. And there's just
What
certain
we were
things.
talking about before we started recording, y'all. Like,
Yes. He literally
Hey,
came in here.
accountability right there.
Yes. But you know what? They learn. And not to say my daughter hasn't ever done anything either. She's done things wrong, but Skylar's just sort of jump out at me a little clearer right now.
There's a story that I tell. I've posted this on social media before. Is so we had cattle, and one of our jobs, my sister and I, was keeping the farm vehicles clean. The tractors, the farm vehicles had to be cleaned on rotation. And we would have to go clean the trucks that they feed. They had the big, tall feed grinders on the back. And so these things were dusty. They had, no joke, 6 to 12 inches of manure on all inch of them, every
Oh,
inch of the
yes.
outside. And Dad would have us clean them spotless. Nikki, what it makes me think of is like if we didn't get a crevice of the interior and we didn't wipe out all the dust, we had to go back and redo it. And in the moment, I'm like, why are you so picky? These are going right back in the field, like right back in the field to get dirty again. Why are you nitpicking me on this? I just thought he was being a total jerk. And what he would do is after we finished it, and I mean, we'd get these disgusting feed trucks spotless. So proud of ourselves. You know, this was like 7 hours later. We'd get in and he'd go feed cattle in them, and they would get covered in manure, covered in dirt and dust again. And we would always get so mad because we thought it was out of spite. We thought it was just really ignorant of him to do that. But what we learned from that is like, hey, just because you're gonna get it dirty again, just because, you know, kids are gonna come in your house and messy up your house again, doesn't mean you never pick up your toys. Doesn't mean you don't take care of your vehicle. Doesn't mean you don't invest in those things still to take pride in what you own. And of course, didn't realize that until I was an adult, but it's looking back at moments like that. I'm like, how do I instill those things in my kids? We don't have a farm. Dylan and I don't have a farm. I can send them there with grandpa, but like, how do we instill that work ethic? How do we instill that amount of care and pride in our kids? Because I think that's so valuable in every aspect of life.
Oh, it's so true. It really is. And I mean, there's been days where they didn't feed and water the dogs. I had to do it because I'm not gonna let the dogs starve or go without water. But like they get home and I'm like, what did you forget to do this morning? And they're like, oh no. And they go to do it. I'm like, oh no. Now you're going to do X, Y, and Z. If you don't want the dogs, we'll get rid of the dogs. No, we're not gonna get rid of the dogs. But like, I like the dogs. But like they have to do extra stuff and they don't forget anymore. So it's like it doesn't have to be a farm chore, right? Like ours, and everybody has 3.5 acres worth of gravel to pick out of grass.
But if they need you to borrow their kid, they could send them right over.
Yeah, send them on over, but be sure that they're going to come home dirty and probably upset and very tired. It's going to be fine. And yes, I will feed
Gonna
them.
be fine.
But it's just like, I think that it's just really important to start early. Like we've had so many people that are like we're at a friend's house or something like that, and we tell the kids like, "Hey, pick up after yourself. Go put the dishes in the sink. Throw away your garbage." And they go and they do it right as soon as they're asked. And people look at us like, "How did you get them to do that?" And it's not hard, right? It is hard at first because you have to nip it in the butt and make it a habit. But as soon as it's a habit, it's easy to keep it going.
But yeah, you make it a habit. And that's what we talked about too this morning is you have to involve them in those things from the start. Like Carter is not great at helping unload the dishwasher, but he takes initiative to try and help unload the dishwasher. So I'm gonna let him do it. He brings me one spoon at a time from the utensil bin when he unloads the dishwasher. But I think it's just allowing our kids to be involved in those things and being patient enough in the beginning for them to try. Because then when they get to this age and they go to a friend's house and it's time to clean up the dinner table, it's not even a second thought. This is just what we
Oh,
do,
yeah.
and I participate. And I think that's kind of lost with a lot of children, because we just do it ourselves. We want them out of the way. Go play, go sit down on the couch. I'm just going to get this done as fast as I can because of our fast-paced lifestyles. And I get that, you get that, but it's slowing down and saying, "Hey, no, you do that. You figure that out."
Yep, exactly. And that's hard because it's not always going to be done the way you want it or as fast as you want it done. You may want to redo it after, try not to. But that's just true, right? You have to have them like allow them to take the initiative. Like Shay, for instance, wanted to do a lemonade stand, which we have a very busy bike path out in front of our house, which is biking in Iowa is apparently a huge thing. And she took initiative. She set up the table. She mixed all the lemonade. She paid for her own supplies. That girl
Nice.
made $800 of profit in 2 months.
Oh
Yeah.
my goodness, little entrepreneur.
Yes. So, like, allow them to take the initiative. Did she make an absolute mess out of our back room mixing up lemonade? Yes, she did. She also cleaned it. But, like, allow them to take the initiative. She hung out there. She learned about money. She learned how to have conversations with people. Like, it was awesome just seeing her grow like that. And it was all her idea.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool. Yay.
Yeah.
Tell her that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a really fun part of the kids growing up is what you take pride in and getting to kind of reap the benefits of the work that you've put in. Whenever you say, you know, those moments on vacation where you got to just enjoy your relationship with her, or those moments when she comforts you, like Nikki, that's your validation. You're doing a good job. You're raising good
Yes.
humans.
We're trying. We're certainly trying.
Do you feel like motherhood has changed, the like feeling of motherhood has changed a lot for you from infant, toddlerhood to now? I know the relationship with your kids has obviously changed, but have you changed the way that you parent?
Yeah, I mean, I think so because I mean, you don't know how to parent until the kid's there, and then there's no book, right? You just do. And so, obviously, yes, you learn and you adjust. And I would say I've definitely changed as a person. It's hard not to change in 10 years. But I have to say, like, more than even just myself, my relationship with my husband's changed a lot and for the better. Like, we actually carve out really important time together. And when we find ourselves like, wow, we haven't had 10 minutes. We literally make it a point to have 10 minutes to either talk or whatever. And it doesn't matter, right? We need that 10 minutes. And it's like we make it happen and we have really honest conversations. And sometimes the most we get to talk is for 10 minutes between workouts in the morning when we're passing, paths, and that's it. But I would say, like, just as a human, allow yourself to grow as yourself, but grow with them. Like, have those conversations with the people in your lives and keep going. I don't know of specific examples for how I've changed as a parent, other than what we've already talked about, but I think it's just allowing myself to really find who I am in all of it and give myself some grace through all of it too. So,
I like that you brought
yeah.
up your relationship with your husband though, 'cause it's a piece of motherhood that honestly I should probably bring up more on the podcast because it is important and it gets put on the back burner, but just learning to identify, okay, hey, we haven't given enough to us separate from
Yeah.
them in this moment and to just draw the line there and make it
Yeah.
happen. 'Cause I think we overcomplicate it. Like as much as moms overcomplicate self-care, I think we overcomplicate making time for our marriage and like dating our spouse.
Oh my gosh, yes. And trust me, we're not going out to supper all the time. I don't drink very often, but sometimes I am dead dog tired and we'll go down to the local bar and get a beer or two together just because we have 20 minutes and that's what we're going to go do. And that's fine. Like, the kids are old enough now, they can stay home alone for an hour and it's glorious. That was a huge step. I'm like, oh my God, no more babysitters. Hello. Yay. But yeah, like you said, carving out that time, staying honest with each other, like, hey, I'm not feeling very good about things right now or whatever. And we have very different attachment styles. I don't know if you've ever really looked into that very much, but attachment styles absolutely fascinated me this year. And I learned a ton about myself and him. And I'm like, that's why he reacts that way. That's why I react this way. Okay, how can I not morph myself in order to be a better fit for him? But how can I make myself more secure so that I'm not as affected when things aren't going as great at communicating? Like, just be willing to keep learning, I think, is a huge piece.
Nikki, you know what I learned?
What?
Dylan's love language is quality time. Ask me how good
Oh,
I was at that in the past prior years. Oh girl,
zero.
so bad. So,
Oh
and I knew
no.
it. I always would say I have to be careful because his love language is quality time, and I teeter on the edge of just absolutely messing that
Yes. Oh God. Rob's is definitely, he's like a mixture of touch, not necessarily like sex, but like touch. And I mean, that helps too. But then, just actions, right? So, like, if I could have done something that made it realize that I was thinking of him when I was doing it, like setting something out for him or putting whatever, like the little tiny tasks, those are the things that actually just like do it for him, and he knows me, I just want a big bear hug, like, please just
Yep.
kiss
Just give
me.
me a
So
moment. But it is important. I tell couples all the time, you should know their love language. Actually, anyone, you probably feel this way with your team. You should know anyone that you manage, you should also know their love language because that is really important for the way that you manage them and praise them and, just let them know that you appreciate them. So
Yes. Oh my gosh, for sure. If you have someone who's a gift person, that's such an easy one to do. But thank God I don't have any of those because I don't like, don't give me gifts. I don't want gifts.
I'm not a big gift person. I'm acts of service. If you do acts of
Yes.
service for me, this is where I'm really similar to your husband. Like that little thing that made me more effective in my day that you just set out for me or got ready for me. But
Yeah.
totally unrelated thing that we didn't plan to talk about that's actually super applicable to
It's super
motherhood.
important.
But
Yeah, it's helpful.
Nikki, I just appreciate you taking some time this morning to be able to hop on the podcast. And I want to give you a chance just with your experience. I know that you work with plenty of moms. I know that you've been through your own motherhood journey up to this point. What message would you leave with the MW audience today?
I was thinking about this and I have something, it's more of an action step. Something that we used to do a lot was like we'd have the TV on in the background or something like that, or phones were around or whatever when we were doing supper. And we try to do supper together at the table as often as we can. Now, granted, when sports pick up again next week, it's not always going to be perfect, but when we can, we don't have the TV on when we're eating. We don't have phones. We have them at least flipped over and in the middle of the table. We don't have them next to us. And we actually started doing this thing that my daughter brought up called high, low, and buffalo. So every single person goes around the table. We give a high for the day, we give a low for the day, and then we give a random fact and about ourselves. And sometimes the highs are funny, sometimes the lows are legitimate lows, and the buffaloes are always totally random. But it's just been fun because like it brings us back together, gives us that time to really just focus on each other, and it also allows us to show that failures are okay when we have low points in our day, and also to focus on the high points as well. It's been a really cool thing that we've started doing, and I think it would be really helpful for a lot of people to incorporate.
I love that. And I love
Yes.
actionable steps too, Nikki. Look at you. This is perfect.
I try.
Well, for everyone that's listening, again, I'm going to put in the podcast description her Instagram handle. I'm going to put the link to her podcast so you can go check out more and hear more from Nikki if you've connected with this episode. I know that she would love to hear from you on Instagram. If you send her a message, let her know you listened and what resonated with you. But your reminder on the MWO podcast that you will always receive anytime you listen to one of our episodes, but that I also hope you receive in your day-to-day life is you're doing a really amazing job, Mama. And we'll talk soon. If you loved this episode of Moms Working Overtime, do me a favor. Share it on social media or send it to another mom to remind her that you love her and that she's doing such an amazing job. There's nothing more incredible that we can do in this community than remind other mamas of their strength. I'm so glad you were here today, and just know that I appreciate you an overtime amount.